So the first, it starts from the assessment where you begin an health risk assessment. So on that basis, we help them companies to design based on the overall risk analysis of the organization. Employees are categorized into different categories, and we get a broad idea of, you know, what's the health status, the current health status of the employees of the organization. So we help them to create a care and well-being benefits plan. Some of the areas that we have also started using is, you know, when you go for a behavioral modification program, the nutrition tracking and the calorie tracking and the other things, there are certain challenges faced that how do you measure the calories and the other things. So we have started, you know, working on building image tools whereby, you know, you just take the image of the food and it will automatically update your calorie programs and other things. So these are the couple of the areas that we are working on it.
Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses and professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovations. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and ecstasies, and of course, the little joys. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial and professional journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For this episode, I am delighted to have Rajesh Mundra, founder and executive chairman, Truworth Wellness, a provider of customized, flexible, measurable, and outcome-driven care and well-being solutions, and among the top three corporate wellness companies in India. Truworth Wellness was established in 2011, being one of the first companies to build this category with a vision to create thriving organizations and individuals. They're committed to transforming organizations by empowering the workforce to unlock their full potential through customized and measurable well-being solutions, one employee at a time. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Rajesh. Delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gaurav. It's an extreme privilege to talking to you, and I hope we go through an exciting session today.
Rajesh, first a basic question. Truworth Wellness, from what I understand, is a leading provider of innovative health and wellness solutions that empowers individuals and organizations to take control of their health and well-being. Explain this to me. What does this entail, Rajesh?
Truworth Wellness is India's leading managed care and well-being solutions company. Essentially, you know, we help organizations to simplify and streamline their benefits administration program, currently which are very highly disjointed, disintegrated, and unable to deliver any significant outcomes in terms of quality of the health of employees. So from an organization perspective, what we are trying to solve is their pain points, which comes to related to health benefits administration. So primarily it is related to the first aspect is the design and composition of care and well-being benefits. How do you create a, there has been so many things over a period, it's a legacy post-COVID, there has been a lot of changes which have happened across the organizations, and the increased desire of companies to offer, have the better workforce and the quality workforce, they have been investing more into the care and well-being benefits. So we essentially help companies to into designing and composition of care and well-being benefits. It is on the basis of the health risk identified. So when we sign up with an organization, we sign up for a period of 3 to 5 years. You know, we tell them that if you really are looking to get any significant outcomes or transformation by investing into the care and well-being benefits, you have to have an horizon of 3 to 5 years. So the first, it starts from the assessment where you begin an health risk assessment. So on that basis, we help them companies to design based on the overall risk analysis of the organization. Employees are categorized into different categories, and we get a broad idea of, you know, what's the health status, the current health status of the employees of the organization. So we help them to create a care and well-being benefits plan. Post that, you know, we have created curated a large network covering length and breadth of company through which the companies can, you know, provide fulfillment to their employees with respect to these benefits. The third challenge this companies face or the administrator faces regarding the utilizations. Companies have been investing, they have been putting in the budgets for providing it to the employees, but they figure out that, you know, utilization is not happening. The reasons why the utilization doesn't happen is maybe sometime it is related to the access issues that they are unable to provide the quality networks which an employee would like to have. The user experience is not really a seamless experience or a happy experience which they would like to go. So we have built in our managed care platform tools, you know, how do we improve the utilization? We have created the seamless user experience. Our network is a highly curated network where we do a complete hand-holding whenever a user wants to avail a benefit. And the fourth and important part is the health outcome. When you are investing into a preventive healthcare, you have to see and the measure outcomes. Companies would like to over a period to see that, yes, if they are investing an X amount of money, whether there is a qualitative outcome or there should be a quantitative outcome. Of course, the qualitative outcome will come first, and then it will lead to a quantitative outcome, which could be in result of, you know, reducing your insurance claims and the other things. So that's very, very key important aspect that companies have started looking as the healthcare budgets are going up. So when a company is signing up with us with a horizon of 3 to 5 years, we give them a structured program, a structured approach. And we have seen with many of the companies that have been working us, they have been able to see a qualitative and a quantitative outcome over a period of 3 to 5 years. So that's one of the part that we help. So essentially, we are enabling organizations to take a full control of their benefits administration and help them to resolve the pain points and achieve desired outcomes. Now, this is on the part of the organizations and the, you know, HR benefits administrator. Coming to the employees. Now, the challenge on the employee side is that, yes, companies are offering them their health benefits. But again, the issues could be related to the maybe it is a one size fit for all, or it's an, you know, it's not really curated. But the biggest challenge that come is that the approach to the managing the health and wellness is not really structured. Companies offer health checkup, preventive health checkup, but they don't follow up whether people who have been found to be having deviated diseases or other things, how to handle them and how to manage them. So our approach is to creating a structured approach. We follow an approach of assess, identify, coach, and manage. Through this approach, you know, an employee can achieve the desired outcome from the care and well-being program that has been initiated by the organization. In this process, employees first go through a health risk assessment, which include a biometric assessment. That means primarily a lab test and the other things, blood test, and secondly, a lifestyle assessment. Now, combining both these two, we are able to identify a risk that employee carries or may carry in future based on the biometric or family history or his lifestyle behavior. Post that, we put him under a guided program that will help them to modify their lifestyle, keeping in mind the risk associated. This is the concept that we brought in. We were, I think, one of the first few early ones that we realized that, you know, the conventional process of which any user or employee used to follow was that you used to take a consultation from a coach. But this doesn't work. You know, a 30 minutes consultation one time doesn't work because the behavior modification happens over a period of time. So that's where we said that, you know, if we have to engage a user into an health and wellness behavior, we have to put them into a guided program whereby we work with them for a period of 15 days or 30 days or 90 days, depending on the risk or the behavior that he's trying to address or to change. Yeah. And then we put them into a guided program. Similarly, then... Yeah. This is a tool driven program. Then they have the personalization can also happen. We provide them the access to the coaches, health coaches, nutrition coaches, fitness coaches, etc. And in addition, you know, they can avail all the benefits which have been provided by the company. They also get an access to a lot of curated video, text, infographic content for at any time, you know, guidance that they require.
Absolutely. You know, Rajesh, you know, how big is the corporate wellness market in India and what opportunity do you see in this segment?
So there are many, it's a widely used term, but what we consider corporate wellness is primarily, you know, what is the care and well-being benefit related to a preventive care and your nutrition, fitness and primary care part. So currently we estimate that this market is roughly around $3 to $5 billion US, and in another 5 to 7 years, it is expected to go anywhere between 15 to 25 million billion US dollars.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, let's also change tack a bit. Let's talk about artificial intelligence, which is now a superhero that's changing everything, including the wellness market, by making it more accessible and, if I may say so, more enjoyable. Why does AI matter to wellness? What are some of the other key technologies you are leveraging to build a competitive edge in this space, Rajesh?
Yeah, so AI is definitely, you know, in the last 1 year, it has really post ChatGPT and the other things, you know, it has started gaining thoughts and the other things. Where we see the use of AI into the wellness is one of the key areas that that we feel that it can be extremely be used and that will be very useful is in the diagnosis, proactive diagnosis. Care and well-being, especially, you know, people who are on the, maybe who are crossing the 40 or even at the early age also, you know, how do you identify? These days we are seeing that, you know, people now it's no longer an age bar. You have seen cardiac issues happening at the 25 age or the 30 age, or it's not that, you know, you will get a cardiac issue earlier, which was perceived pre-COVID that it will only be after 45. So one of the areas that we have seen that AI can be used and a lot of AI tools are being built and we are also integrating such of those tools is through facial analysis, you know, one can identify the deviations which are happening. So there is the market is still evolving as the trend with the AI, the more data you submit to the AI, the more the engines are trained, then it will start giving better results. So currently the success rate is somewhere around 75 to 80%, but we hope that as the things progress, the diagnosis part will improve. Another area where we had started using AI and we started using much early, almost like a year before, was as a AI therapist. A lot of time where we have seen that in the case of the mental wellness, the current approach of the mental wellness is to address it when it has crossed a threshold level, like user has already become a depressed or he has moved into a depression stage, then the only therapy is able to control. What we felt that, you know, can we bring in some kind of a proactive approach in it, whereby on a daily basis, if a user is facing some challenge, like we have a concept of a mood tracking where we have built an AI therapist, we ask user to track his mood. So if he shows any deviation into that maybe today he's feeling sad or angry or whatever it is, you know, we have used a rationalist approach. We rationalize his thought. This is based on a cognitive behavioral therapy, and our AI tools, you know, keep asking him questions and other things and keep pushing him, giving him an answer. So we have built up a tool. This has helped, you know, by the end of 5 or 10 minutes, the user is able to identify what is the problem that he's facing, and then probably he's able to address it. And then, you know, of course, he goes through our other things. So these are some of the areas where we feel that where it is going to really make a significant change is if we can make it proactive in the diagnosis. The second part is the using it when, you know, into the predictive analytics or in the personalization of the program, whether what are the areas on the basis of my liking and disliking, you know, I can get guidance on the basis of the nutrition and the fitness, how I'm feeling today. So on the basis of the industry analysis and the other things, peer analysis, it will be able to give you the personalized recommendation. Some of the areas that we have also started using is, you know, when you go for a behavioral modification program in the nutrition tracking and the calorie tracking and the other things, there are certain challenges faced that how do you measure the calories and the other things. So we have started, you know, working on building image tools whereby, you know, you just take the image of the food, especially this is very, very difficult in the context of the Indian food, where you take a photograph of the whatever food you are having it today, and it will automatically update your calorie programs and other things. So these are very, very important when you are personalization. So these are the couple of the areas that we are working on it in building up a AI tool. And of course, the second is, as we are going, we'll be building more of a virtual assistant, because there is a scarcity of skilled coaches available in the market, be in the terms of nutrition or the counselors and the other things. As these things grow, we'll need more and more of such people. So I think the AI will be the one area where we'll be able to, at least on a preventive level, we'll be able to encounter that problem. So that's some of these areas that we are looking to explore. Of course, it's relatively new. And as we move forward, I think next 1 year, we'll see a lot of change. Yeah, Gaurav.
So what are the key roles in a corporate wellness program? Who are the heroes of such a program, Rajesh?
So of course, one of the some of the heroes is that companies, HR is definitely the key hero of the thing. The lot of this success of the program depends on the HR team. If they have dedicated team for the wellness program, so they are the real heroes. And of course, it flows from the top management. If at the top management, at the CXO level or the CEO levels, if they also show very, very keen interest into the program, we have seen that the utilization, the adoption, the outcomes have been very high. These are true for the most of the companies. The challenge lies more into the larger companies when you are dealing with 10,000 employees companies or 20,000 employee companies. That's where, you know, how do you make sure that, you know, how do you assist? So there we had the concept of creating real heroes. So we had the concept of wellness champions. So in any organizations, we figured out that there are always, you know, some 50, 100 or 5% or 2% of the people who are always fitness savvy or wellness savvy. So we ask our HRs to identify these people and start engaging with them. So they also become a kind of, you know, we make them the wellness heroes. They become the wellness champions. They not just become the brand ambassador. They become a kind of a captain for things. We help them to build communities, engage with the communities through a lot of socialization and gamification tools and program. So essentially, it's not just the top management which can be the hero or which is desired to be, you know, driving the wellness program, but a lot of depends on the HRs who are the real heroes. And then even the employees, we have seen that, you know, if you are able to identify some of these 20-30 wellness champions, they become the real heroes and who actually drive a program successfully.
You know, Rajesh, mental health has become more and more a growing challenge in a corporate work environment. How can a corporate wellness program help in dealing with this, Rajesh?
Yeah, Gaurav. So essentially, in any corporate wellness program, mental wellness has a very, very important role. And for last so many years, mental wellness has been addressed differently. We have something called Employee Assistance Program, EAP programs, which not just deal with the mental health issues, but some of the other issues related to, you know, the corporate work environment. So mental wellness is an important part. But what we feel is that if it is integrated with your physical health and the other things, and it is an integrated program, that's where it really makes an important. Another thing that we impress upon the organizations to focus on the mental health is to make it a proactive program. Most of the companies are currently struggling, though there are a lot of mental health issues, but they struggle that they don't see people coming forward. So that's where the tech companies like us play a very, very important role. I think we were one of the first few companies who started addressing it through creating proactive chats. Prior to that, you know, companies were having counselors. You used to walk to counselor, or you talk to a counselor, or you go to an helpline. But we realized that these were more of an ambulance kind of an approach. You only go when that's a serious problem. But why let a problem become a serious? The issue is that if you can address it at an early level, the mental issues start from a very early level. It could be related to a relationship problem. It could be related to a work-related issue. So we were the first one who initiated chat, that you can start chat with the counselor through the app or through the web and the other things. And you can do it anonymously also. So that's where we have seen that the utilization also increased. And we saw that a lot of employees started coming at an early stage. So they were able to, we didn't let them go to a counselor. Like today we see that only out of maybe people who are coming on the chat, only 5 to 10% people need a therapy sessions. So that's where we feel that the proactive environment. So our approach as a tech-enabled company, and when we are building a corporate wellness program for a company, is to create a proactive solution. So in terms of, we have created a lot of wellness assessment, mental wellness assessments, which we promote. User can go and analyze their, you know, where do they stand on multiple mental wellness issues, be it relationships or anger management or conflict related, or any other depression or any other thing, you know, they can take an assessment. Based on that assessment, then we start their personalizations or guiding them as they should do. So that's where we feel that, you know, that's how we integrate mental wellness into our overall corporate wellness program. Yeah, Gaurav.
Rajesh, you state that your goal has been to change the mindset of CXOs from driving a pure benefits transaction-based approach to a holistic, structured and outcome-based approach towards health and wellness, essentially enabling corporates to compute ROI. Help me understand this. How do you achieve this, Rajesh?
So this has been the real problem of last so many years, and the companies have been investing on the healthcare budgets and the other things. At least they are budgeting it. The utilization doesn't happen. The reason for, as we have mentioned into our pain points earlier, that the problem lies in that currently the benefits is primarily just a transaction base. You are having a separate doctor consultation program. You are having a separate pharmacy program. You are having a separate nutrition program. There is a separate company vendor running a mental wellness program. And there is a separate vendor who is running a fitness. And in between, then you do some couple of other activities. So essentially, you know, none of these things are purely integrated, which is not what an employee likes. When an employee gets an health checkup done, if he's a 30-year employee, for him, if he finds certain deviation, then he will need some hand-holding support. So that's where a structured approach, an outcome-based approach, that's what we say, that instead of looking at a transaction benefits approach, let us first, we help you to design a composite wellness benefit program that will help you to achieve outcome. In this, as we said, that our first approach is to at least make an assessment. So we ask companies to at least first create an assessment of the entire population. So let us analyze where does if you have got 5,000 employees, what is the structure of these 5,000 employees? How many are fit? How many are overweight? How many are having a stress-related issue? So all the multiple issues that you can identify, as you mentioned it, through our health risk assessment, we identify. And on that basis, that becomes our foundation for designing a wellness program. So that's what we call, when we say holistic structured approach. So now in this case, I have taken everything right from the physical health. So there is a physical preventive health checkup that has happened. Then we are providing them the primary care. You know, they can, through our network, managed care network, they can go through a primary care, which is more of a daily need basis. Then, you know, people who are having a deviated, or people even who are healthy, guided to a nutrition-based program. What should be your nutrition guidelines? If there is a deviation, then we provide them a diet plan. These are all something like, essentially, we provide them and guide them, then nudge them to start using it. Similarly, identifying an organization. I'll give you an example. When we were working for a large pharma company who were having a higher pharma claims. So we analyzed that what's the reason why these companies are having a claim. And we realized that they were having a lot of gastrointestinal claims. Again, going deep further, we realized that these claims were coming primarily from their sales team. Now, of course, sales team, when we started talking to the sales team, they said, yes, you are telling me you will give us some diet plan or the other things, and then we will end up having where we are going to eat. We are always on the road. So then we had created a structured program for these salespeople. We did almost 3 months orientation session working with them. And we said that if you are traveling, then these are the things that you can eat. You can find it if you're going to an Italian restaurant, or Chinese restaurant, or a roadside restaurant, you use these kind of things. And within, I think, 18 to 24 months, we could see a significant reduction in their claims, at least onto the gastrointestinal and the other claims. So these are the examples of some of, you know, how and structured and outcome-based approach. So I think companies have been conventionally having it. There are some global companies who have their global mandates. So slowly and gradually we are explaining companies, but we see this as a more of an evolutionary approach. Companies start initially, those companies who have started offering health benefits in last 1 or 2 years, they take 2 to 3 years time to move to a completely structured and outcome based approach. But more and more companies have started going towards that because the investments are going high, the budgets are going high, every year your hospitalization premiums are also increasing. So definitely they have to look an ROI. So our philosophy of assess, identify, coach, and then manage. That's where this is what we called a holistic structured and outcome-based approach. Yeah, Varun.
Rajesh, given the nature of your work, you also deal with a lot of proprietary employee data from a range of organizations that you work with. How do you ensure data privacy, Rajesh?
Yeah, Gaurav. So data privacy and the data security has been an essential hallmark of our program right from the beginning, from our tech platform. We have been ISO 27001 company since last 5 years. This year, we got a SOC 20, SOC 2 certification also on the basis of last 12 months assessment, which is a very, very rare 12 months continuous audit. And we are also HIPAA compliant and GDPR compliant. So some of these data privacy practices we have been incorporated in our program, in our tech platform from the last 5 to 7 years. So over a period, we have passed through the lot of security audits of the large financial companies and IT companies and everything. So we are very, very much conscious of this fact. And on the data security part, on the data privacy part, without the user consent, the data is not even shared with this employer also. So employers also only get to see the cluster report. They cannot have any access to any data, to employee data. And employee data also, he has got the complete freedom or the choice on his data. If he wants to delete his data any point of time, he can go and delete his data, entire data. So we are now the Indian Data Protection Act has also come. So we are almost getting compliant with the same also. Our data security, while even when it is traveling on the internet, on the storage, we are using the latest cryptographic tools to store it and during the transit or the storage. And this is something which we are very, very conscious and take extreme and the utmost step to deal with the data security and then data privacy. Yeah, Varun.
Thanks, Rajesh. Thanks for dropping by to have this conversation with us and share your insights and deep perspectives on a variety of issues. Thank you so much, Rajesh.
Thanks, Varun. It's been a nice pleasure to talking to you, and have a nice day.